Mr. Tanford, can you explain your involvement in this lawsuit? I understand that you're with your legal counsel.
I'm a professor at the law school, and I am a volunteer lawyer for the Indiana Coalition for Public Education. Okay, the first place, I mean, it's not the Seven Oaks lawsuit. It is a lawsuit against the state of Indiana, and Seven Oaks is just kind of caught in the crosshairs. That is, this is a fairly straightforward constitutional case that says a state law has violated the Establishment Clause. And the background is that when Indiana originally passed its Charter School Act, it was government officials that got to decide whether to open a charter school. This is consistent with the traditional vision of charter schools, which is they are generally, were generally run by an existing school corporation who would open a charter school in order to do sort of curriculum experimentation. School of the Arts, a pilot program in the, you know, 10 years ago for, you know, working iPads into the curriculum, an experiment about what would happen if you tried to teach foreign languages in the second grade. They were, the idea behind them was that they were pilot programs to experiment in different kinds of curricula run by the school systems. Somewhere along the line, the Indiana legislature changed that law to say that all sorts of other non-governmental institutions could also authorize, create charter schools. The people who propose this are sort of affiliated with the same branch of the Republican Party as Betsy DeVos that basically don't like public education very much. And they don't like the public school system, and they're unhappy with it for all sorts of reasons. In the process of doing that, they included among the non-government entities that could authorize the creation of a charter school, a evangelical Christian college in northern Indiana called Grace College and Seminary. The lawsuit says that turning over the government function of creating and running a school, turning that over to a church, violates the Establishment Clause. And the reason Seven Oaks is involved is because Seven Oaks got its charter from Grace College after having been turned down twice by the state. The Establishment Clause says that the government may not pass a law that affects an establishment of religion. What it generally is interpreted as meaning, it's sort of the classic, if misleading, metaphor is the wall of separation. Government functions must be run by the government. You can't let the church, any church, participate directly in the government process. And the flip side of that is, of course, you can't let the government participate in a religious process or a church process. It says that fundamentally the Constitution was carving out areas of separate responsibility. The government worries about secular life. Churches worry about our spiritual life, and we keep them separate. It is probably the most complicated area of constitutional law to explain because it is a truism that religion and daily social life in many parts of the country are intertwined. You can't buy alcohol on Sunday in Indiana. Why not? Well, if you trace that law back, it goes back to the fact that the Christian religion, Sunday was the Sabbath. Since they dominated the legislature, they said, well, you know, you can't have people going around buying alcohol and drinking when they're supposed to be in church. Well, but of course, other religions, their Sabbath are different days of the week. So even ordinary parts of our lives, our currency says, in God we trust. So that the problem of deciding when laws and customs have crossed some gray line, gray area, and violate the Establishment Clause is very, very difficult. And the courts have had a lot of problems with it. And a lot of the decisions come down to the individual philosophies of judges and of legislators who pass these laws as to whether they think it crosses the line. So it is very difficult to come up with a sort of concise definition. And in the case, in the charter school cases, there are two such cases, and they go different directions. One is a case about a Massachusetts liquor law that said if you are applying for a liquor license and if you are within 500 feet of a church, the church must give permission for you to have the license. And the Supreme Court said, no, that violates the Establishment Clause because the church, a church is exercising a fundamental government role. That is, the decision whether to grant a liquor license is a quintessential function of state government, and you can't delegate those quintessential functions to a religious body. That's the basis on which we have challenged the Indiana Charter Schools Act as applied to Grace College and Seminary, because the decision to open a public school, hire its teachers, decide on its curriculum, that is a quintessential government function. And what this law has done is it has allowed Grace College and Seminary to make that government decision.
Mr. Tanford, thank you very much for speaking with us.
You are welcome.
And Mr. English, just kind of summarize what it is that this lawsuit is about in your own words.
Basically, there's just been a challenge after we've been in operation for over a year about the legitimacy of the school. And mostly there's an attack on the charter school law in the state of Indiana. And Seven Oaks has been used as a vehicle for them to challenge the law. Well, Seven Oaks is very interested in having a determination made about these questions on the merits. At one point in time, the coalition dismissed Seven Oaks as a defendant from the lawsuit, and we insisted on coming back in because we want the court to make a determination that there has been no violation of either the federal or the state constitutions. So there were actually three particular questions which were before the court, and the court, by its recent ruling, decided two out of the three of those in favor of Seven Oaks, and the court indicated that there was simply not enough information in the record at this point in time to make a determination as to the third allegation. What we're doing at this point in time, we had filed a motion to dismiss, which was a very early assault on their case, and the court basically did not say that they would not consider further whether or not there was some legitimacy to their claim, but they just wanted more information before attempting to make that determination. We feel very confident that this will be resolved in our favor. Our attorneys are working very diligently to get us a favorable outcome. This particular lawsuit is not impacting our ability currently to move forward as a school. We're enrolling for the fall semester, the 2018-2019 year. Our enrollment started a few days ago, and we anticipate that we're going to not only maintain the enrollment that we have now, but make some great strides toward enlisting new students to come to our school. This is not impacting our ability to operate as a school whatsoever at this time.
Mr. English, thank you very much for speaking with us.